Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Health Matters. That's Dr. John Burkhart you see there, and we'll talk to him in depth in just a moment. We remind you that you can hear these entire interviews or see these entire interviews through our podcast at UMC or on the website at WVUA23.com or the UMC University Medical Center website as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy our Health Matters segments. Dr. John Burkhart, welcome back. It's good to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Dr. Burkhart is a clinical psychologist providing psychotherapy and related care at University Medical Center Northport. We recently did a story about the new facility over there. Do you have a new fancy-smancy office in the new building?
I do, but because of COVID, I've spent a lot of time at our main location here on campus.
So all right. One place or another, people can find you.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that new facility is fantastic,
it is.
And it's going to be wonderful to serve people in Northport and West Alabama. We're talking to Dr. Burkhart today about something I hope you never have to deal with yourself or your family. But it's something everyone knows about, talks about, and that is Alzheimer's.
Sure.
We all want to live to 95 or 100 and have a sound mind the whole way, but nature, other factors, that's a rare thing these days. If the longer we live, it seems the more we are prone to have some cognitive challenges. Is that generally accurate?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a normal amount of what the term would be like cognitive slippage, which is basically just saying I'm not as sharp as I used to be. And it happens as we age, but then they'll get to a point where maybe more things will start to happen and you'll start to lean into the clinical term is mild cognitive impairment. So what you'll start to see there is maybe the person's having difficulty finding names of familiar objects or even just finding words.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have some visual spatial deficits where that's where you hear about kind of getting lost in familiar places. They'll also have some, a little bit of memory changes, and then their attention diminishes a little bit.
Now, the reason I do Health Matters is so I get free medical advice from people like you. I don't have a copay or anything. I get to ask you anything. I notice as I'm about to turn 71, sometimes I have to think a moment for a name that I know like my own. I've not been diagnosed with any kind of issue or something. As we get into our 70s, late 70s, into our 80s, should we panic about occasionally we don't pull up the name as fast as we used to?
No, I don't think so. I think what happens and where you start to see it more is they might be either thinking of a name or they're maybe looking at an object and they're going,
And
it could be like a fork or something very simple or glasses. And then they just, it's like almost the tip of the tongue phenomenon, but it's happening more.
But now Alzheimer's, diagnosed, honest to goodness, Alzheimer's is a different animal altogether.
It is.
And is such a challenge, not only for the patient, but for family members as well. And I know you deal with this all the time, talking to people who are coping with it. It is life-changing, not just for the one individual.
Absolutely. I mean, and depending on the onset of it and how long the symptoms start to last or increase, if you will, what that onset looks like and the progression of the disorder, it kind of changes everything, especially a lot of the times there's big personality changes, but then also you might have somebody that's never really had any behavioral problems that starts to have behavioral problems, which is, it's tough to see. You know, your loved one have that. So I can speak personally. So my grandmother had it and, she was a school teacher and everything, she was as sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it then. I know it now, but she had Alzheimer's with behavioral disturbances. And what that meant for her was she would be sometimes seeing or hearing things that aren't there.
No.
Right. And as you can imagine, if you're doing that and things aren't there and there's other people around you, that can be a very scary and confusing time because you're not recognizing your normal environment.
Is it like other diseases, any cancer, the earlier you catch it, the better you have a chance of fighting it? Is the sooner you recognize and are officially diagnosed with Alzheimer's and reach out for help, the sooner the better? Does it apply to this as well?
Absolutely. But I think it's also like a lot of other diseases that we face is the better we kind of take care of ourselves, even if we have it or we can track something, the better that outcome is going to be. Even if the outcome's not going to be great, it's going to be better than if we don't.
And some of the advice for preventing or slowing down Alzheimer's is similar advice a general practitioner, family doctor would give to anyone, beginning with?
Sure. So, I mean, you and I've talked about this before with a lot of things, whether it's depression or anxiety, it's exercise. So what they really look at is like 150 minutes a week is a lot of the studies that I kind of saw. It was either low intensity or moderate or high. I really don't think sometimes it's the intensity that matters as much as if you're being active, right? Because it's always easier to move from low intensity to medium and high. But if you're not active at all, then you have to start to talk about moving. And so that's the first part. But I even saw something, what did I see, an article? Considering household chores, exercise, because of how much you've moved around. So they start to look at ways of behaviors that we do and how we can kind of integrate that into our life. So you kind of have that physical piece. And then there's that social piece of talking with friends and family, because we don't want to get isolated, because isolated will lead to loneliness, which will lead to depression, which could lead to some other things.
In fact, you mentioned when we were talking before we turned the camera on that suicide is a real concern when someone is initially diagnosed. They may be diagnosed, not suffering a lot of symptoms yet, but they know pretty well that they're going down a path they'd rather not go down. And that's a real concern early on.
It is, and it's something we should pay attention to. And to be honest with you, we always get so focused on the other things that we all know about, right? Memory being the predominant one, that you almost forget about the suicide part. And so it does go up for folks, especially, like I said, they'll start to feel isolated. They'll start to feel lonely. They'll get depressed about what's my life going to be like? What's going to happen to me? They start having a lot of those future-oriented thoughts and then wondering, how fast is this going to affect me? Is it going to affect others? Where do I go? Where do I live? And that can lead to some depression, and depression, suicide is a part of depression.
Early on, can people come to you and you can help them as best you can adjust to what they're going to be dealing with, especially if they might be suicidal? You can forgive, talk them off the ledge, literally.
Sure. I think it's something you always have to bring up at first when you tell somebody, but then always check in. And then when you're seeing them, even if they still look fine, still just ask, you know, how are you doing with that? If they sound a little down, it may not be you're a little bit of down. You might be looking at some depression. You know, sometimes we just don't think about it. So just kind of checking in with that person is important.
Let's end with this. And I'd like to talk to you in a future segment about the family members that aren't diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but they're going to be the primary ones caring for family members. Some advice on that. We'll do that in another segment. Let's end with this, though. Is it true our grandparents and great-grandparents possibly didn't deal with Alzheimer's much because they weren't living as long as we live? My dad lived to 93, but go back a generation, it was 83, and before that, it was 73. Is there any logic to that?
So, you know, that always comes up, especially when you talk about women, because women traditionally live longer than men. So that's why you might see them that have Alzheimer's a little bit more. But again, I was reading, and some researchers over in Hong Kong, I believe, were studying a gene. It's USP11, and they found it in mice. And so because of how the chromosomes are, women have more of this than men. And when they learned to control it in the mice, it helped with a certain protein that is responsible. So there's a tau protein that happens that breaks down things in our brain for the generic term. And so they started to look now how they could alter that and do that is something completely different. But it almost kind of debunked a little bit of why women got it more than men, because they actually found a gene that might be associated with it, which I found kind of interesting.
That is interesting. And long term, I know, like all of us, you hope that medicine in general finds new ways of treatment, new ways of prevention, and can do a better job of handling this scary disease down the road.
Yeah, I think absolutely. But if you look, and you and I have talked about it, it's amazing how always the simple stuff is always the things we come back to keep us, to keep the car running best, is like I say. So I mentioned exercise, what you eat. So Mediterranean diet, they talked about it. Helpful, but not maybe the only thing that helps. So eating better, right? Sleeping, too much time in bed can actually add to cognitive dysfunction.
Wow.
So you don't want more than 7 or 8 hours. And then socialness, like making sure you're connected with other people. So yep. All the things that we already kind of know. It's amazing how it transforms into just about every part of our life.
Dr. John Burkhart, you're one of our favorite guests on Health Matters. We appreciate you joining us today and your expertise. As always, we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.